Always enjoy Brother Chad singing, amen. And man, make me a man of your word. And it's where the word of God where we find comfort and peace and joy. And man, we need to be people of the word of God. And Brother Chad, I appreciate the comment about the hair. I wish I had that much hair to mess up that much. Some people's asking me, do you not have another, you know, don't you have another cowboy shirt? I said, I sure do. I got one. It's a kind of a dark green, you know, fade into the crowd type shirt. But this shirt makes me look slim. I want to wear this one. It's the stripes. It has a slimming effect. Miss Linda says it's not, but did y'all see her try to get her boots on? Did y'all see her try to get her boots on after she played the organ? That was amazing. That was the quickest I've ever seen somebody put boots on. Amen. Well, isn't it good we can come and be in the house of the Lord and have a good time as well? I'll tell you what, Christians have more fun. And, you know, I always hear comments, well, Lord, you know, preacher, I don't want to become a Christian. I don't have any fun. And, you know, God's just out to ruin all my fun. No, He's not. I have more fun around the Christian family. And I don't have to worry about waking up the next morning feeling bad. Amen? Or what I did, or where I was at, or and what a blessing it is to be a child of God. If you would, in your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 1. And I'm going to really preach as we always do, but maybe more so than normal, preach a simple message. We heard a lot this week about forgiveness and bitterness, about how we shouldn't allow bitterness to be planted in our hearts and how it can really affect us, and we should be forgiving each other and loving each other as a church family. But I tell you what, again, be reminded, and there's other verses we could turn to, but just be reminded this morning that Jesus Christ forgave us, died for us, and forgave us of our sins. Look at Ephesians chapter 1 and look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Look at verse 7. It'll be our text verse this morning. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He had purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Verse 7 again, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Let's pray. Lord, we again come to You thanking You for just Your wonderful grace and mercy that You've extended to us. Lord, we are so undeserving. And Lord, we thank You. God, we thank You for sending Your Son to die on the cross for us, to forgive us our sins. What a great and wonderful privilege it is to be a child of God. I pray that You bless the message this morning. Hide me behind the cross. Lord, we need You this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know about you, but I have played in several games, football games, baseball games, where we were way behind. Score was we were way behind. I played in one game where I ran backwards. You ever did that? No? Way behind. How many of you would like, even in this life so far, maybe the time you've lived up to, at this point in time, to be able to go back and just forget it all and start over? I know in a baseball game or in a football game, sometimes you just like to see it all erased and the score go back to 0-0. Let me tell you, if you're saved this morning, Jesus Christ has erased the score in your life. Isn't that great? I mean, Jesus Christ has erased the score. We have been forgiven. We have been redeemed. Everyone needs their sins forgiven. Even as a Christian, we sin. Absolutely. Amen? We're just sinners saved by grace. Amen. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And He was talking to Christians. In fact, He was there in the previous verse. He says to Christians, He says, if you have no sin, if you say you have no sin, you are a liar and the truth is not in you. We are all sinners. Again, the difference between Christians and the lost is we are just simply sinners saved by grace. We are in need of forgiveness. There was a story of a wicked man who got saved at his deathbed, and you know, kind of one of those jailhouse type of conversions. And he got saved, and on his tomb, they put the name and the date of his birth, the date of his death, and just one word, forgiven. One word, forgiven. If we have one word to describe our life and as it relates to Jesus Christ, it would be love, but love is expressed in forgiveness. He forgave us. He forgave us. Forgiveness means to bear the burden. To bear the burden. First time I ever did this, my pawpaw, when I first got out of high school, went into college, and in a seminary, and I needed a truck. Our vehicles were running kind of slim. I'll tell you the story later, okay? All right. Here's the story. There was a little Toyota pickup on the way to my pawpaw's house, and he said, we need to go by and look at that Toyota pickup. I said, yes, sir, we do. That'd be awesome. Let's go look at it. We went by and looked at it, and pawpaw said, I think you need this truck. I said, yes, sir, I think I do too. I just don't have any money. Then I was 18, just in Bible college, didn't have a dime. And he says, I think you need it. He says, I tell you what, I'm gonna buy this truck. I'm going to pay for it. You're going to pay me $100 a month. I said, Papa, that sounds great. I'll do that. And I was very faithful at it. For, I don't remember, probably 12 months of faithfully paid, never late. And it came to Christmas time, and there was no present for me under the tree. Adult, we didn't have any presents. It was usually a little card they handed you, right? I like the cards a lot better than I do the presents. Cards are good when you're an adult, especially when you're in Bible college. And some of you experienced that in college where it's like you're end of the week, you have 39 cents in the bank. You know, the next week you have 89 cents in the bank. Right? I've literally kept some of those checkbooks. I think it's just hilarious to go back and look and say, you know, look what God did for us. I just don't know how we made it. But we did. And I remember getting that little card from my papa or from my grandmother. I don't remember who gave it to me. And opened it up and read the little note. It said, you've been, and I don't remember exactly what it said, but you no longer have to pay for the truck. I'm giving it to you. No more payments. Hallelujah. My papa forgave the debt. Forgave the debt. No more debt. He simply means my papa bore the debt for me. He bore the burden of the debt. By the way, my papa was God had blessed him, and he had worked hard, and he had the money. You know what? That $1,500 I owed him, to him, that wasn't much. You know, but he bore that burden. He bore the debt because he had the ability to. Now, at that point in my life, I couldn't loan you 10 cents. But my papa had that ability and did that for me. Jesus Christ can forgive because He has already borne the burden. He bore it at Calvary. He bore our sins, the Bible says, in His own body. The Bible says the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He bore our sins on the cross of Calvary, and there He shed His blood to forgive me my sins, to forgive us our sins, to pay the debt for our sins. We have been redeemed. The debt has been cleared. As we see here, two or three things this morning in this scripture, verse 7. We see three things that we'll give you this morning. Number one is the measure of forgiveness. The measure of forgiveness. Look again at that verse. It says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins." Look at that little phrase here. "According to the riches of His grace." Again, my papa had the ability to bear the burden, to bear the debt. And let me tell you, the measure of forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ is measured according to the riches of His grace. According to the riches of His mercy and grace. Aren't you glad this morning that His grace never runs out? His grace never runs out. I remember reading as I was studying, it's hard for me to realize that, you realize that if God gave you $10 billion today, it would not in any way affect how much He had. If God gives you grace today and gives you grace tomorrow, He still has as much grace as He began with. It's hard for us in our finite minds to understand that His ways are not our ways. You know, His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are way above our ways. Listen, He is God. He's the supreme being in the universe. He's sovereign. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and He can give you the 1,000 hills, and He'll never run out. His grace is infinite. His mercy is infinite. His forgiveness is infinite. The measure of forgiveness is according to the riches of His grace. It's not according to the character of the offender. Forgiveness is not according to the character of the offender, but according to the character of the offended one. For instance, if I offend Brother Watson, he just came back from vacation, probably nobody can offend him right now. If I offend Brother Watson, and I go to him and say, "Brother Watson, I'm sorry. I'm sorry." It's his character as to whether or not he forgives me. It's not about my character or who I am. It's whether or not he'll forgive me or not. So the forgiveness is according to the character of the one who has been offended, not the one who's committed the offense. Some say, well, if I'm a good person, or if I live right and do right and so forth, if I live right, God'll forgive me. Listen, only the offended one can forgive. It's not about how you live. It's not about what you do, but it's according to His riches of His grace. Understand that Paul the Apostle, who wrote over half the New Testament, was a murderer. Before he got saved, he went around persecuting the church and killing Christians. Listen, it wasn't about what he did, but it was the character of the one he offended. God. And God forgives according to the riches of His grace. Let me tell you and remind you this morning too, there's no little sins and big sins. Some say, well, I've committed a huge sin and God will not forgive me. No, all sins are the same to God. James 2:10 says, if you have offended in one point, you are guilty of them all. Sin is selfishness. Now, there are various levels of penalties for sin, but all sin is the same. It's selfishness and rebellion against God. You have offended God. You have sinned against God. You have sinned against God. Sin was settled at Calvary 2,000 years ago. Again, the measure of forgiveness is not according to how many sins you may have or may not have committed, but according to the riches of His grace. Again, like with me and Brother Watson, it's going to him. Have you ever asked somebody for forgiveness? And they said, no, I won't forgive you. So again, it's about the character of the one who's been offended. Aren't you glad Jesus Christ offered Himself for sin 2,000 years ago? And again, it's Him that we have offended. Let me read this verse. Psalm 51 verse 4 says, David said this. He said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Sin is a transgression against God. Sin is breaking the law of God. Sin offends God. Ephesians 2:4, but God who is rich in mercy, again, rich in mercy. Ephesians 2:4, I'm going to read that. But God who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us. God who is rich in mercy. And again, our text verse this morning says, according to the riches of His grace. He's rich in mercy. He's rich in grace. He forgives us. He forgives us. Again, God who is rich in mercy, not God who is rich in real estate, Not God who is rich in, and just put in the line there, but God who is rich in mercy. Psalm 100 says, the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. Mercy. All right, let's define two things this morning. Number one, grace means that God gives us what we do not deserve. Grace is God's unearned favor, God's unmerited favor. Everyone with me? Mercy is things that God takes out of our life that we do deserve. Everyone with me? God who is rich in grace, in other words, He gives us what we do not deserve. He's rich in grace. He's rich in mercy too, in that many times He takes out of our life what we do deserve. In other words, I deserve hell. But He forgave me and took that out of my life. Everyone with me? Amen? God who is rich in mercy. He said, well, you don't understand. I do understand. I do know. Again, sin is sin is sin. Sin is just as much sin for the 5-year-old kid as it is for the 50-year-old man. Hello? That 5-year-old who walks down the aisle and gets saved here at the altar is just as much a sinner as the man who's lived 50 years and has a track record as such, as we would think. But God's mercy and grace covers it all. You think about God's mercy, we think of Methuselah. Methuselah lived in the Old Testament. He lived to be 969 years. He's the oldest man in the Bible, right? Some of y'all remember what his name means? His name means, when he is dead, it shall be sent. Methuselah's name means that when he is dead, it shall be sent. What is that? The flood. The flood. God looked down upon mankind in Genesis chapter 6. He says, and man's thoughts were evil only continually. And he said, I will destroy man off the face of the earth. But listen, that didn't come. That flood did not come until Methuselah died. 969 years, God was merciful. Not giving the world what they deserved. Not giving mankind what they deserved. He was merciful. Patient. Amen. Why did Methuselah live to be 969 years old? Did he eat right? I don't know. Maybe he did. Maybe he didn't have near as many Brahms chocolate shakes as I've had. Yeah? Why did Methuselah live to be 969 years old? God's mercy. Isn't it amazing that the oldest man in the Bible lived to be 969 years old? to prolong the event of the flood? Amen? God is merciful. He also repeats that over in Peter too, that God was long-suffering. Listen, God is long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish. Amen? But all should come to repentance. Methuselah, God is merciful. He's rich in mercy. He's rich in grace. Again, forgiveness is not according to the character of the offender, but the character of the offended one. And God is rich in mercy and grace. It's not according to the sins committed, but according to the riches of His grace. Again, God has no problem forgiving sins. The Bible says in Romans 5:8 that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Again, He doesn't say that He died for good sinners or fair sinners or vile sinners. It simply says He died for sinners. All's even at the bottom of the cross. He is no respecter of persons. Amen? Isn't that great? He's no respecter of persons, rich or poor, black or white, whatever social status you may be, whatever you may have committed, whatever you may have done. God is no respecter of persons. God saves sinners, and we're all sinners. You say, well, I've been awful, Brother Crawford. It don't make no difference. The grace of God, the one you sinned against, that determines your forgiveness. It's not about what you've done, but about the one who is offended. And He is rich in grace, and He is rich in mercy. I don't know about you, but when somebody offends me, I sometimes have a difficult time forgiving, right? Hello? I do, absolutely. In fact, the Bible says we're to love those that despitefully use us, pray for those that despitefully use us, to forgive those, amen, to love our enemies. And that's tough. That's hard to do. Sometimes it's hard for me to deal with somebody who has wronged me and be patient with them. But aren't you glad God is patient with you? See, my patience will wear thin. Right? No, it never happens to you guys? Where's your kids at? Let me see. Huh? My patience will wear thin. You know? But God's patience never runs thin. Again, I repeat again. God is patient with Brother Daniel. God is patient with Brother Watson. God is patient with me. He can be patient with Brother Day. He can be patient with Brother Reed. He can be patient with Brother Sides. He can be patient with Brother Laster. He can be patient with Brother Juan. He can be patient with Brother Tim even. Already picked on me this morning. And his patience will never run out. Isn't that good? And it'll never lessen. It never becomes weak. It never gets... God's patience never runs out. God is so great to us. So His forgiveness is not according to our sins and the sins we committed, but according to the riches of His grace. It's also not according to the lapse of time. Not according to the lapse of time. Whether you're a child, middle age, or old, God forgives. We think about the thief on the cross. Again, the thief on the cross never had time to get baptized, never had time to rededicate his life to the Lord, never had time. He just simply said, Lord, and Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Amen? Again, it's not about the lapse of time. I had the opportunity a few years ago, a neighbor of mine called me and said, Brother Crawford, we have a friend. He was only 26 or 27 years old. Some of y'all remember this. And he said, he's dying of cancer. A 26-year-old dying of cancer. And he said, man, we'd love for you to go see him. He doesn't have a pastor, and we'd just love for you to go see him. This is my neighbor. And I said, sure, I'll do that. And I remember, again, going to the hospital up in the Grapevine area, went up there and into that hospital room, and he was already, you know, laying down. He looked so bad. I had seen him a year before that. And, man, just a healthy young man, big guy. I remember him there in the hospital. They had one of those... It wasn't a ventilator, but they had the mask that blows into them, you know, and just it forces that air up into them. And he was laying there, his eyes closed. He couldn't talk. We're talking two or three days before he actually passed away. And spent some time with there, just prayed with him. And then, man, I just felt like, I saw his eyes open. He just kind of became alert for a little bit. And I began to ask him questions. I said, sir, are you saved? Do you know Jesus as Savior? And I knew he had been raised in church. He'd gotten away from the Lord and so forth. But I just asked the question, do you know the Lord as Savior? He said, and he shook his head like this, no. I had the opportunity to lead that man to the Lord. He never said a word to me. But I had the opportunity to lead him to the Lord just by him nodding his head up and down, sideways. He confessed he got saved. Listen, not about the lapse of time. I certainly would not hope that you would wait till that time. But it's not about the lapse of time. God forgives. God forgives according to His grace, according to His mercy. It's not about according to our remorse, but according to His grace, according to His mercy. Again, it's not about coming down to the altar and crying and weeping and trying to, as some of the old books I've read call praying through. Listen, you don't have to pray through with God. You just come down here and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I know it. I've offended you. Lord, I believe that you lived, died, and rose again for my sins. Lord, save me. And guess what happens? He saves you. Amen. For with a heart, man believeth unto righteousness. It's not about praying through or having some kind of emotional experience. But He wants to forgive. By the way, He wants to forgive you more than you want to be forgiven. Why else would He have come to Adam there in the Garden of Eden and said, Adam, where art thou? He knew that Adam had sinned. He knew that Adam had done wrong. Why did He go to Adam? Because he sought to get them forgiveness. And He seeks to forgive you this morning. He's on your trail, if you would. Not according to our remorse, but according to His mercy and grace. Not according to the strength of one's faith. I've had him say several times to me, well, preacher, I just, I just don't have enough faith. I just don't have enough faith. It's not about faith. It's according to the riches of His grace. It's not about how much faith you have. Salvation is not. Hello? He that believeth on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. It does not say he that believeth much on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. Oh, you said, preacher, I don't think you're right on that one. The Bible says believe. That word believe means trust. It means that for salvation you simply must take whatever you're trusting in for eternal life, set it aside and put your trust, your belief, your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? That's it. Well, the preacher, it can't be that simple. It is that simple. That's why a lot of people stumble at it. It's not about whether or not your works outweigh your bad things. It's not about whether you come down and you cry enough. It's not about whether or not you've done this sin or that sin. It's according to the riches of His grace. It's according to the riches of His mercy. He loves you this morning. He seeks you. He wants you to be saved this morning. Think about that brazen serpent that Moses lifted up in the wilderness. The children of Israel were in the wilderness and they had again, I'll put it this way, they ticked God off. And God sent serpents in among them and they began to die. And Moses went to God and said, God, what are we going to do? And God told Moses, he said, build a brazen serpent. And when you lift it up, those who look to that brazen serpent will be healed. Sure enough, he built it and lifted it up and they began to look to the brazen serpent and they were healed of the snake bite. Did you have to have 20/20 vision in order to look to the brazen serpent and be healed? Did you? What if they couldn't see it? What if they were old and feeble and they got bit but they couldn't see the brazen serpent? Did you have to see it in order to be saved? No, you just had to look that direction. You had to believe, right? Amen? Isn't that good? It's according to the riches of His grace. Where are you putting your faith? Where are you putting your trust? Are you putting your faith and trust in a baptism or some emotional experience? Or are you putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, His life, His death, and His resurrection? Again, forgiveness is not according to what I am or what I have done, but according to the riches of His grace. We think about, again, just God's forgiveness for us. How great our God is. The measure of forgiveness is according to the riches of His grace. Then we see the manner of forgiveness. It's free. According to the riches of His grace. Forgiveness is like love. You can't purchase it. You can't buy love. You cannot purchase or buy forgiveness. We are all sinners by nature. And because of that sin, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of God. Salvation is a gift. Freely given to us who put their trust and faith, their belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know the Savior this morning? Years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified, knowing not it was for me He died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Forgiveness is free. According to the riches of His grace, in whom we have forgiveness, in whom we have forgiveness of sins. Who forgives us? The Lord Jesus Christ. In Pennsylvania, in 1829, George Wilson was sentenced to die for robbing the mail and for murder. President Andrew Jackson issued a pardon for George Wilson. The pardon was taken to him, but he refused it. The court had to decide whether he was actually pardoned and could go free. The president issued the pardon, but George Wilson refused it. Was he pardoned or not? Chief Justice John Marshall gave this ruling. A pardon is a piece of paper, the value of which depends upon the acceptance by the person implicated. If he does not accept the pardon, then he must be executed, even though the president has given him a pardon. Again, we think about God's pardon is also a piece of paper, the value of which depends upon acceptance by the person implicated. The person implicated is whosoever will. Rejected, there is no pardon. Accepted, there is pardon. In whom we have forgiveness according to the riches of His grace. Again, you have to accept that pardon, that forgiveness. Again, it's not about whether you come down the aisle and weep and remorse. It's not about whether or not you have the faith. It's not about whether or not you have done this or done that. But it's according to the riches of His grace, His mercy. And His grace and His mercy never run out. I'm glad at the age of 6 years old, I asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior. And He forgave me at 6 years old. I'm glad I had the opportunity to stand at the edge of the bedside of a man who was dying of cancer at 26 years old and see him accept Christ as a Savior. I've had the opportunity to witness people of all sorts of ages. I'll never forget baptizing Missy Stivey's mother. Had to help her down to the baptistry. Amen? Miss her. I'm glad His promises don't pass away with time. But it's according to the riches of His mercy. Are you saved this morning? Christian, this morning, we are all sinners. We all need forgiveness. Amen. Is your chalkboard clean this morning? Is your whiteboard clean? Have you punched back delete, 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 delete on the screen? Amen. Aren't you glad that the Lord forgives? Amen. Let's all stand. Have a time of invitation. Hymn 154, Jesus is Calling.